Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number 3, DDC, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. This is how we roll on a hot Wednesday afternoon. Caller 6 right now, 615-737-1025. That's our phone line driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Elijah Campbell standing by our Hillside Medical Game Studio. He's going to award Lucky Caller 6 a pair of tickets to see Train, Jewel, and Blues Traveler at Ascend Amphitheater on June 21st. So 3 weeks away from that awesome show at Ascend. But you need to be caller 6 right now. Good luck. Thanks for listening. Let's hear from Titans wide receiver Robert Woods.
When you talked to us back, I think, in March after being traded here, but to be on the field in the OTAs, even with the non-contact jersey, how's things going and how good does it feel to be on the field right now?
Feels good to be just out there with the guys, learning this offense, be out there and just build some chemistry with Ryan, our other receivers, and really just everybody in our huddle. But feels good just to be back playing football again, I guess easing back into it. But just feels good to be on the grass and just being out there with the guys.
Coach Ray was just talking about how, you know, you have the choice, first of all, to be here for OTAs, and then second of all, to rehab here as opposed to anywhere else. What made you rehab here and also choose to be here for OTAs too?
Just getting acclimated. Kind of goes hand in hand. If I'm going to be here, I might as well, you know, just be out here. So being able to get with Todd, who was able to just be one of the top trainers in the NFL, and being able to get me on track and where I need to be, being able to rehab with Caleb, another guy who's rehabbing his ACL, and just being able to push each other and stuff like that. But being able to, like I said, it's my first year with the team, being able to pick up this offense as fast as I can, since I'm not being able to be out there fully. So when I am ready to go, I'm ready to have that knowledge of the offense and just be able to go full speed by then.
What's it like mentally, maybe when you're coming back from an ACL, building confidence, and where you feel like you are from a confidence standpoint, like making cuts, doing things where you're feeling like, hey, this is feeling good?
You got to try. I feel like you got to do it to have that confidence. And I feel like we're able to do these things at slower speeds and being able to build up as I go. And I think that's the start of it, being able to do these things in a jog through period, in an individual period with Rob. I feel like that's the kind of stuff that allows me to have confidence and being able to pick it up. And as we get to go full speed, as I already made these cuts at a certain level, and as we start picking up the speeds, I feel like it just comes from being able to do the drills and then translate it to the field.
Have you had much of a chance to talk with Traylon, to work with Traylon? What are your impressions of where he is as he's kind of seemingly had a difficult time getting started?
Yeah, I would say, it's the NFL. This is the highest level of football. It's not going to be easy for any rookie to just pick up, especially this offense that we run. It's a lot of learning, a lot of studying, and that's what I tell him. You know, make sure you just stay in your book, play fast. You're going to make mistakes as long as you make them full speed. We just need you going, and I think right now he's always been quizzed, you know, by Rob Moore, TD, Coach Vrabes. Always throwing out questions, picking his brain. So he's always on the hot seat and in the hot spot when the questions come out. But that's what every rookie, everybody's going to be challenged. And we're just doing that so he can pick up his offense as fast as he can. But great player, great athlete. Going to need a lot from him this season.
Going back to the rehabbing with Caleb, what's that like? What's the dynamic like with a guy that's kind of just coming out of college football and a guy that's a veteran?
Yeah, really good. I'll say he's a top corner, elite corner, being able to train with him. He's strong, he's fast, and I think that's really good for me to have someone next to me and kind of gauge off of that. But really, I think just an elite player, and I guess with me being a veteran, being able to just – we just talk a lot. I mean, we We're rehabbing, obviously, but being able to just pick each other's brains of why I do a certain release or what does he prefer as a corner and press, what's the range, but like really just being able to get reps being on the side and being off the field. But it goes hand in hand. I'm learning from him, he's learning from me.
Beyond the trainer,
say again?
Caleb's a guy who's been hurt a lot recently. What have you seen from his mindset that you guys are rehabbing together?
I don't think he believes he's like been hurt a lot. Obviously, injuries are a part of the game. It's 100% of every player is going to get hurt playing football. But he's confident in his ability, trusting his body, knowing what he can and can't do. And I think that's the biggest thing of being an NFL player is you're not trying to be somebody else. You got to learn to be your best self. And I think Caleb is he's learning that and being able to prepare like that, being able to trust his speed, trust his power, and really just he's a confident player. I think he just got to be able to get out here on the grass and be able to do it. I think he has the confidence to be a lockdown corner.
We see a lot of communication, Ryan Tannehill-wise, with you guys after the plays. Is that something that's unique to what you've seen? And also, how is that development process, you know, getting that chemistry, that synergy with him going?
Yeah, I would say Ryan is a really good leader, being able to not only talk out here on the football field, but talk in the meeting room, talk in between plays. I think that's one of the biggest things you expect from a quarterback and a leader is there's no time off, really. He's always leading. He's, I don't want to say interrupting coaches in a meeting, but he's throwing in his two cents and what he expects from the receiver and where he wants us to be and kind of what he sees and how he wants to throw the ball. So I think, like, really just being able to pick his brain and being able to have that conversation in between plays, in between reps, in between meetings, in between walking to a different meeting, I think that's really good from your quarterback because the more you know about him, the more you know what he's thinking, I think we're able to play fast and have that anticipation out there on the field.
Robert,
beyond the trainers giving you their advice and all, a lot of guys who've had an ACL injury will consult with fellow players who've been through the same process and all. Is there anybody that you've kind of picked their brain and kind of asked them what the rehab process has been like as you go through it?
Not as of now. I feel like early on in my rehab, I did more so like kind of just getting to know it. It was like I never had a serious injury. So this is like my first one. So really like when it first happened, I was picking Odell's brain, Cooper Kupp's brain, those who had experiences with ACLs. But I think now at this point where I'm kind of along or in my recovery, it's more so about, I guess, me and my trainers getting back to my top shape. And even with Todd, it's just like, obviously, we want to do everything that's correct and make sure that no injuries come back. But now it's more so, let's get back to an elite level of playing.
I know it's all still new to you. You have a sense of Coach Tim Kelly yet?
Yeah, big time. Even just with him and Brandon Cooks, I got word from Brandon Cooks when he was in Houston, talking about he was a great coach in the passing game. Being able to have him out here when we're doing drills and phase one, being able to pick his brain and talk about a lot of our route concepts and passing concepts. And then even just hearing him speak in the meeting rooms, being able to have that experience is really big for myself and Hooper at the tight end position, being able to play fast and be able to attack zones in the passing game.
Since AJ was traded, have you looked at your role coming into this team differently, or have you maybe kind of approached it the same way? How have you kind of looked at that?
Approached it the same way. I came in attacking this offense and this team, trying to be the most dominant receiver. Obviously, I'm always competing, as every player should. We have to compete and be at a high level. My competition was AJ. He got traded. Now my competition is Traylon and all these other receivers. But we need to compete and. I know I'm a veteran and he's a rookie, but it's like I need him to compete with me so I could, you know, better myself and everybody. That's how you really become good. It's a competition all around in every position, and that's how you keep guys playing at an elite level. You don't want guys to get complacent and comfortable. So I think
when you talked at the Super Bowl last year, Robert, I know you said you figured you'd be ready for minicamp. Was that just talking optimistically at the time, or did you really suspect that would be the case? And do you have you impressed yourself with how quickly things have progressed here?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I said mini camp, but it was mini camp. I'm sure it wasn't training camp. All right, well, well, no timetables now that I'm here. But really, I'm just trying to get back to playing at a high level. Being able to be out here and do what I am doing is really impressing me. Being able to run on the side with Frank and seeing certain speeds that I'm hitting, being able to trust my knee and some cuts with Rob, I think I'm really good on pace. Being able to do some training on my own. And really just being confident in where I'm at and being prepared and being ready. Obviously, we don't know how long it's going to take or what could come up. But I would say, like, right now we're all on pace and doing really good to be ready for a camp. But really just trying to be my best me and be ready when I can. And whenever they need me to be on the field, being able to be at my best when I'm out there.
It's early, but what are your early thoughts on Nashville after living in L.A. and kind of being born and raised in L.A.?
Yeah, Nashville's way better than I expected and I thought. I thought I was really just going to just a country town and not going to have anything, but it really has a lot to offer, whether it's food, entertainment, obviously a lot of music. But really, just I know I'm from LA, but I love experiencing different cultures and stuff like that, having a different experience other than fast-paced living LA lifestyle. So I've been loving Nashville, getting acclimated with it. The guys, everybody's been welcoming, not just the team, even just around in public.
Can I ask about
my daughter,
okay.
Shy.
Something you always wear during practices?
No, not something I always wear, but just every now and then I'll just put her on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. When you're out there doing what you can do, are you tempted at all to kind of push it a little bit more? Do you have to remind yourself, hey, I'm wearing the yellow jersey, I gotta, you know, just stay at the same pace? And what's that like for you from a mental standpoint?
Yeah, I'm always obviously being smart and what I can and do, can and can't do, but I would say I'm always gonna push it and try to fill it out. Like I said, for me to get confidence, I have to do it and know what I can and can't do. But I'm gonna go out there until they tell me I can't or if I'm doing too much. But other than that, it's just being smart and knowing my body, knowing my limitations. I do have that brace on to protect me. But other than that, it's I got to experience it and feel what it's like.
So you forgot it for the first snap. Did you remember or did somebody remind
you? The yellow jersey?
Yeah.
Oh, I usually do forget it for the first snap because I'm kind of switching periods. And then I get a rep in and then go grab the yellow jersey. Got to be smart and be protected because these guys are definitely coming after us on the defensive side.
There you go, wide receiver Robert Woods speaking today at Titans OTA. We'll come back, discuss some things we heard right there on the other side. By the way, congratulations to Joey Garrett. Joey was listening, and he got rewarded. He was lucky caller 6, and he's going to that awesome concert in 3 weeks at Ascend Amphitheater. We'll come back, more DDC next. We heard from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel last hour. Just heard from Robert Woods, wide receiver, to start this hour. We will hear from Kevin Byard a little bit later in the program as well, as he spoke today at OTAs. What stood out to you guys with Robert Woods? I think when he joined us on the program shortly after he was here with the Titans, it's pretty clear he's going to be a guy that, one, the media is going to gravitate towards, and two, I think, you know, the sky or the limit, you know, basically his production and what they're expecting from him has got to be pretty high, right? I know he's dealing with the ACL and the rehab, which happened last November, but I have to believe it is more than fair to expect a pretty big season from Robert Woods, no?
Big meaning, big in terms of what? I mean, big in terms of what he did in
75 catches.
I think they expect that from him.
Is that too much to ask?
It's because in his off, and say in LA, that would be no. You would be asking for 85, 90 catches, which he, I believe, was getting 90, 95 catches with the LA Rams. Here, with the way the offense is ran, I would think, yeah, in between that 70 to 80 catches, somewhere around there, that would be huge for the Titans. You know, it's hard because now he becomes your one. And he wasn't brought in to be your one. He was brought in to be your two. And now he has to be elevated. A guy coming off ACL has to be elevated to your one. So, you know, I think 75 is a good number. You know, if he ends the season with 75, 80 catches, 1,000 yards.
How many games? That would be my question in the 75 catches.
I think they would love for him to play every game, all 17. Yeah.
Because that's a win. Yeah. If he plays 17 games, that's a win. That's for a them. Win.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think if he plays 17 games, he could get over 75 because he's a possession receiver. Uh-huh. I would hope he would get, because he's had upwards, you know, he's been a 90 catch guy.
But that was different offense.
In a different offense that throws more.
Uh-huh.
So so 75 catches for him, you know, he's a 12 yard per catch kind of guy. He may not get that's in the neighborhood of 1,000 yards.
That's what I'm saying. 75 catches in this offense is great. Again, that's why I believe A.J. Brown wanted to leave. And I said this before, that this offense isn't built for a receiver to have a bunch of catches and numbers.
Right, it's whereas the Rams is the opposite.
Exactly.
Let's look at the targets for Robert Woods. 2018, 130. 2019, 139. 2020, 129. Last year, he had 69 in 9 games before the injury hit. That's a lot of targets. But if you think about the Rams' offense, and Cooper Kupp is in this too, it's a lot of quick throws. It's a lot of versions of wide receiver screens, or, you know, in that family. I don't know what you call them, but this is where the creativity of the Rams' offense came in. They didn't have the traditional running back. They had a couple of, but so their running game was basically get the ball out to him, get the ball out to Kupp, and let's get some blockers in the right places, and we'll move the ball. Mm-hmm. And so it remains to be seen where he fits in the Titans' offense. So it's a really good question.
Well, let's just go back to A.J. Brown. The year he played the whole season, his first year, he only had 84 targets. The second year he played 14 games, he had 106 targets. Now, say add two more games to that, then you're adding maybe, 15 more targets. So we're up to 121 targets, somewhere around there. Last year, he played 13 out of 17 games. So you would have thought he only had 105 targets, then he would have had at least 130, probably 140 targets. So he will get targeted at least 120 times.
If he's healthy and he's playing.
If he's healthy
and
he's playing.
That's the key. If he feels good and he's out there, he will get the targets, I would think.
So out of that, 75 catches, yes.
But how different will the routes he's running be in this offense compared to the Rams? I'm not smart enough to know what the answer to that is. I just in my observation of the Rams offense, that was a really interesting offense.
Well, the Rams run one, the Rams are very creative in what they do. A lot of moving routes, quick routes, get the ball in his hands and then let them do the work. Well, the Titans didn't do a lot of that.
Right, because they've got the traditional running game.
Exactly. They didn't do a lot of that the year before. You know, the Titans are play action, hit big shots.
Yeah.
You know. So can Robert Woods be that, or is he a volume guy? Does he need volume, to be effective?
Guy.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
AJ was not a volume guy. AJ could, you know, catch, you know, 4 passes and end up with
well over 100 yards.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the playoff game. Right?
Absolutely.
I think he only had 4 catches in the playoff game, but they're all huge catches.
So he was either a boom or bust guy. And I'm not saying bust meaning he just wasn't, you know, he was bad. It was just.
Yeah, and you could have a huge impact on the game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Either they were getting big chunks with AJ, or it was trying to find a way to get him into the offense with just some little stuff. Well, it's the same way with Robert Woods. They're going to have to find a way and be creative enough to where he gets the ball in his hands very quickly.
It also seemed to me, Darren, that he seemed very cautiously optimistic. You know, he didn't want to go too far when people were asking about, hey, how are you coming along, all this stuff. But I think he feels pretty confident. I could sense some confidence that, you know, he's going to be ready. Now, you'd never know. Like Derek was saying, there's you can look great, feel great in these drills right now, but things are different when the intensity ramps up and you actually have somebody defending you, right? And you're pushing around, you're twisting, and you're getting tripped up, and you're getting tackled. That's where there's a next level that he's got to get to. And it's unknown how that's going to react. But he seems to be feeling really good right now. That's a good thing.
I'm not surprised. I think we've talked about this before. I mean, 1st of November or middle of November, I can't remember the exact date. You know, I mean, we're sitting there, we're talking about starting a season in September. I mean, the way today's athlete comes along, and technology, and just, you know, we've kind of sped up the process. And I know everybody's different. I'm not surprised that he feels good. Now, whether that'll all play out and he'll be ready, but would I be surprised if he is in uniform and active and upright and running down the field catching balls against the Giants? No, I would not be at all. At this point, today, now I could change this answer in training camp. Today, I'd be more surprised if he was not available to start the season.
To start the season. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm cautiously optimistic. Not necessarily about him starting the season, about more so with his impact.
Now, the remember, Taylor Lewan started the season last year. His impact was felt in the wrong way.
Yeah,
right?
Same thing with Bud Dupree. Bud Dupree,
that's
same
right.
thing.
That's right. But they were out there.
Exactly.
Right? That's the difference. They were out there. I didn't say he was going to have 9 catches for 130 yards. I just said I would be more surprised if he was not upright and available.
Oh, yeah, I would be.
And
I
playing
would,
exactly. against the Giants.
Yeah, I would be surprised, too, if he's not out there, period. But I'm cautiously optimistic that he's going to give, you know, the Titans what they are going to be missing because of A.J. Brown. The first few games of the season, first 4 or 5 games of the season.
Can they get any help from other receivers that we really haven't talked about much? I'll tell you what I'm talking about. On the other side here on the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Kevin Byard to begin the final hour of the program here on the DDC. So Josh Malone, we touched on it. Mike Vrabel touched on talking about him. Really wasn't afraid to go there. He didn't offer huge insights, but certainly touched on Josh Malone. He had a long touchdown pass from Ryan Tannehill today in OTAs. I get it, it's OTAs. But we've only really talked about 3 options this year so far, right? Burks, Woods, who we just heard from, and NWI, Willie's boy. Can there be a guy that comes out of nowhere that helps this team? I'm not talking about 60 catches, but I'm talking about a guy that they can use that can give them some relief and another a target that, you know, can be implemented from time to time. And can Josh Malone be that guy? Does he have any chance of being that guy?
I mean, he does. What is this, his 5th, 6th, 7th year, Josh Malone?
No, can't be that long.
Man, it seems like this kid's been in it. It seemed like he graduated a while ago.
It hasn't been that long, has it?
I think it's been a while, yes.
He just turned 26 years old.
Gosh, it seemed like this kid's been.
He's played 26 games.
But when did he get drafted?
He first came into the league 2017 draft with the Bengals, played 11 games his rookie year, and that's the most he played.
So this would be going on his 5th year.
And he didn't play last year at all.
Yeah.
He started 7 games as a rookie, but he's only played sparingly. He played only 6 games in 2 years with the Jets, 2019 and 2020, and
he
did not play last year.
Jets, right?
got drafted by the Bengals.
I thought he played. Got drafted by the Jets.
Yeah, I thought he did too.
Drafted by the Bengals. 2 years with the Bengals. 2 years with the Jets, and then did not play last year. That doesn't mean he wasn't. He may have been on somebody's practice squad or whatever. He did not get into an NFL game last year.
Okay. Well, I mean,
there's an opportunity for one or two or three guys to get in there and play. We've gone through the cast of guys. They're all unproven, either rookies or guys that were the replacement level guys they were running through there last year. Racy McMath and Dez Fitzpatrick, all of these guys, somebody has to emerge. Somebody's going to get a chance to play. I don't know if they're going to be any good, but they have to put some guys in there. You need more than two guys.
Well, I mean, right now they need someone to be out there because they can't do anything as far as free agency or whatnot. You know, obviously you have your three in Woods, Burks, and then
NWI,
Nick Westbrook, Akina. So you have those three guys. I think they think if they had to go into a season right now, that would be their three guys going into the season. Now, Mason Kinsey is a guy that could, you know, get some more playing time. He could, you know, he's been a guy, I think they do like him.
Right.
What he can do as far as being a slot guy, get the ball to him very quickly. He can make some moves, make guys miss. Obviously, Vrabel likes Josh Malone, big body.
Right. Then there's the rookie they drafted from UCLA. Exactly. You hope he gets in there and you create competition and some of these guys emerge.
But I think ultimately they're going to have to go get another veteran guy.
Okay. Now, here's the guy that Chase and I discussed one day pretty extensively. You weren't on the show, but we'll get your take on it. There's a few guys out there, but Will Fuller is the most intriguing to me because he's always been a guy that can, when he plays and he's healthy, he can beat you deep. I don't know what you can get him for right now, but I would think it's not going to cost you a ton of money. But what do you think about him as a fit if you were just to bring in another guy?
I mean, he's been in the NFL 6 years now, somewhere around there. He's just been too hurt, man.
Oh, hurt or suspended.
Yeah, never had over 900 yards in his career. 2020 was sort of a good year for him. Well, it was a good year for him. Until he got suspended. He had eight touchdowns. He was averaging over 16 yards per catch, but that was with Houston. And then last year, he only played, two or three games last year. Listen, you got too many hurt guys on your team now.
He is a very risky guy.
You blow on him, he's going to fracture something.
That seems to be the
route. So bringing him in, yes, I know you probably wouldn't have to pay him much, but bringing him in it does nothing for your offense, really, because you can't count on him to be healthy for the full season, you know?
But that's the dilemma, is do you try somebody like that? And they have before. They have brought in, I mean, we can go down the list, Eric Molds and Andre Johnson.
Oh, my goodness.
Remember, the guys who had been productive at one time, very productive, and just they were hoping to get that one last. Eric Decker, you know, the guys who were past their prime, but they were available, and they took a flyer on. I don't know if you're better off with that or you're better off with the guys that you've been trying to work with, like Dez Fitzpatrick and Racy McMath and Mason Kinsey, and you hope that they could make a jump.
I think that's what they're hoping for.
Well, that's what they're hoping for now. That's who they already have in there. This question is, do you bring another guy in from the outside and give him a shot, and if it doesn't work, you just cut him?
I mean, besides,
you're not going to give him a lot of guaranteed money.
Besides the three, Burks, Westbrook, Akina, and Robert Woods, nobody else.
If I'm a veteran,
I don't want to disrespect those guys because they're good enough to be on the team. You know, hence they're on the Titans team.
Right.
But they don't, if you got to go in with those guys and anything happens to Westbrook, Akina, or Treylon Burks, or Lord forbid, Robert Woods. Those other guys behind them right now, we're not, if I'm a defensive guy, I'm not scared of them. I'm blitzing every play and putting them one-on-one press coverage because they don't scare me in the passing game at this point in time. So right. To me, they're going to have to go out and get another guy.
Okay, that's my – and so – and if I'm one of those guys out there, I'm looking at the Titans and going, there's a chance mm-hmm. to go in there and get some playing time. That's what I would think. Mm-hmm. Whoever I was, I would be calling the Titans going, hey, you look like you need some receivers.
Mm-hmm.
I could be that guy. Now, there's not a lot of great options out there, but we'll see if they go that route. All right, when we come back, we'll have more on Darren, Donick, and Chase. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tune in for Sounds Baseball today at 5:35. That'll be on ESPN 94.9 Sounds Baseball against the Durham Bulls. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Spirited Hive. Special announcement coming up at 5 o'clock today. Be listening. Station announcement today at 5 o'clock. Back here on the DDC, Kevin Byard will join us, or you'll hear from him coming up to begin the final hour of the program. Speaking of that side of the ball, let's talk about sacks this year. Mike Vrabel talked about that. He was asked about that, right? Or Shane Bowen, I guess, maybe this morning when the coordinator spoke, talking about getting more sack production. It was better last year, but now they had that side of the ball improved dramatically, and now expectations will go up even a little bit more. So if Bud Dupree, and I get it, he's really not been a participant in any of this, but you anticipate him being available and having a different start to the season than last year. I think he had 3 sacks last season. Is he a guy that can – they signed big. Is he a guy that can flirt or get to double-digit sacks this year? Is that realistic or unrealistic?
Bud Dupree?
Yeah.
I think it's realistic. I think if you, go back to his days with Pittsburgh, I think that's one reason that the Titans chose to bring him in, because he was a guy that could get to the quarterback. And again, I like what Vrabel said in regards to that. Like, listen. It's nice to have those sacks.
Yeah, he really wasn't willing to talk much about it, right? Like
exactly. It's nice to have those sacks, but also it's nice to get that pressure as well on the quarterback, because just because you don't get the sack, you may get the pressure, which may alter the pass.
Yeah, you could get an interception.
Exactly, absolutely. So I think Bud Dupree – if you're looking at what he's done previously, I think he can be a double-digit sack guy. Obviously, 19 was his best year with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then he missed, 5 games the year after that? And he was coming off the ACL, and then last season he was just rounding into form at the end of the season. So I think they brought him in to be a double-digit sack guy and a guy that can – put pressure on the quarterback. So, to me, if he doesn't get double-digit sacks, then the pressures need to be off the chart.
Yeah.
Because I'm not paying you this much to not get double digits and not get pressure as well.
I agree, and it's not a matter of singling out Bud Dupree, but if you look at the investment in the defensive line, first-round pick, re-signing Landry to the big deal, investing heavily in Bud Dupree. Autry was a really good signing.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of ways to measure a pass rush. It's not all the sacks, but you should get a certain amount of sacks if you have a good pass rush. But I think Mike Vrabel, he's not lying when he says, I'm not worried about the individual numbers, but collectively, you should get a certain amount of sacks. And if you're pressuring the quarterback effectively, That's going to be a good thing. They need to have a really good defensive line. There's a lot invested in that defensive line. And I think if they stay healthy together, they'll do well.
Well, in fairness, I know what Mike Vrabel said, and I know what you just said, Willie. But they didn't sign Bud Dupree that big contract to have, you know, half the sacks as Jeffrey Simmons.
But it doesn't matter to me if he has 8 sacks, but he's drawing double teams, and Harold Landry has 15 sacks, then he's doing his job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it all depends on how you're defending those different weapons. The idea is you can't double team all of them, right? And if one guy's getting double teamed and getting less sacks because of it, but another guy is getting the sacks as a result, you've done your job.
Well, that's where it shows up in the big scheme of things. Like, okay, if Bud Dupree's getting double teamed, then Harold Landry, you should have double sacks at the end of the season. Or Jeffrey Simmons or Autry, y'all should be able to, you know, add 2 to 3 more sacks to your sack total. But not only is it sacks, like I said, if he's getting double teamed, well, he needs to affect the game in the run. He needs to obviously make other guys better, which he does with the double team. And he still needs to find a way to get the pressures, because they show they can be creative on the defensive side of the ball. So they're just not going to line them up on one side and say, hey, Bud Dupree, you stay over there and you do what you can. No, they're going to get creative and move him around so he doesn't get as many double teams. So if that is indeed the case, then, yeah, you should have a certain amount of sacks and you should have a certain amount of pressures. And when you're on the field, there should be a noticeable difference from when you're on and when you're off.
Well, what concerns me is what you guys are talking about. Well, then what is he? Is he the guy that is really, really important and worth that money? Or was he the guy that benefited exactly what you guys just laid out in Pittsburgh when T.J. Watt was the one getting all the coverage and the attention, and he benefited from that, and he doesn't have a T.J. Watt on here, so he really maybe wasn't worth that money. I mean, which one is it?
That was the suspicion when they signed him.
Sure.
Is that he benefited a lot from getting good matchups, mm-hmm, because of the defense he was in. But I think on this front four, the way Simmons has developed, mm-hmm, he's now a star. He's a guy that you have to game plan for, like they did with Albert Haynesworth. There should be some good matchups for Dupree, Autry, definitely Landry. Somewhere in there, you should have an effective front four. It doesn't matter who gets the sack as long as the team gets the sack and the defense has success.
Well,
right?
he should like this personnel. I'm not saying from a schematic standpoint, because I don't, you know, what Pittsburgh run is maybe different from what the Titans run here, and maybe what they ran in Pittsburgh suited him a little bit better. So I can't tell you whether from a schematic, whether this is better for him or not. But I would tell you this, from a personnel standpoint, that line is better for him, because to me, Jeffrey Simmons is better than T.J. Watt. Jeffrey Simmons is the second best defensive line, interior lineman in football, and he affects the center and both of the guards.
Right.
So when you have a guy like that, a la Warren Sapp or you know, some of these other really good interior guys, it forces teams to play Dupree one-on-one.
Yeah, Haynesworth had that effect,
exactly.
Right?
Haynesworth had that effect where, you know, guys on the edge could have one-on-one, you know,
Kyle Vandenbosch.
Vandenbosch, one-on-one matchups majority of the game. So if I'm looking, if I'm Bud Dupree, I'm like, I love this personnel, you know, because they got to account for Jeff every play.
He needs to be a force, Dupree, because his cap hit went up. Like, it was a lot last year. Mm-hmm. It's gone up,
yep,
this year. So he's got to be a force.
He does.
But I'm not putting a number of sacks on there to define how he's doing.
But I do think
get, he should get his fair share.
But to me, and I know, and I'm with you, Darren, I know what Vrabel says, but if you're paying a guy that much,
you signed him to a big deal.
He better get double-digit sacks. He needs to get
double-digit sacks. But I'm saying, if it's not 10, if it's eight sacks, but he's got forced fumbles and tackle, is dynamic.
Like, there are other ways.
There's other ways to, but he needs to be a force.
But it has to be, right, you have to be impactful.
He can't just be a guy.
How about that word? Impactful.
Absolutely, or else he'll be gone.
Yeah.
Right? They'll have to eat money, which they don't want to do.
Mm-hmm. Right, but, because at this point, they have, I'm going to give it an incomplete. I'm not going to judge him off 1 year, but right now, let's be nice and give it an incomplete, because if we were grading, he's not been worth the signing.
Not yet. Nah. I think
right.
by the
That's
end of the year,
once he
started getting his rhythm, he was much more effective.
Well, but he had, in all fairness, right, he had nowhere to go but up, right? He was basically invisible for half of a season.
Well, I would say the first season was the first semester, which he got a D. The second semester was the second half of the season. Toward the end, he got a B, so it was on average a C.
Okay, I'll buy that. Right. Yeah,
I'd take that.
So,
I think he would evaluate himself like that.
Yeah,
right?
So I admired the fact
that he came out and said, I tried to be ready too early. Mm-hmm. I rushed it, and I had to take a step back because of it. So I thought he was very upfront on what was going on.
Yep. We'll see. But impactful is the word. He has to be impactful, or they've made the wrong signing.
Because what is he making? 15, 16 this year?
Yeah.
It might be more. It's a lot against the cap. I got to check.
15,
but also
like,
in the context of what we're talking about, think about the quarterbacks and the offenses they're playing. The Bills, the Chargers, the Chiefs. They go right down the list. The Bengals. They play good teams that have good offenses. They're going to need everything they have out of that pass rush and the defense as a whole.
I'm just looking at guys that are making the money that he's making. Now, T.J. Watt is off the charts. A kid at 22 sacks. Damn.
He's just a different level than everybody else.
Even though I do believe Jeffrey Simmons is
he was an MVP candidate.
Yeah. I do believe Jeffrey Simmons is just a different cat. Robert Quinn had 18. Myles Garrett had 16. Nick Bosa, 15. Trey Hendrickson, he had 14. Micah Parsons, who was the rookie of the year, he had 13. Cameron Jordan, 12. So to me, these are all guys that are making big money. Like,
yep. Bud Dupree,
14, 19, 15, $16 million.
SpotTrack, 19.2 is the second.
You need to have double digit sacks.
Second highest cap hit percentage of the cap. 9.1% of the cap goes to Bud Dupree. So you got to have a return on the investment.
Yeah, you got to have double digit sacks.
Yeah, I don't really want to hear about.
Yeah, you can't end the season like eight sacks, but yeah, he got 3 forced fumbles and some pressures. No, not it. Yeah, if I'm paying you $10 million, that's great. But if I'm paying you 15, 16, we need a little bit more.
19,
we need a little bit more. We need 19 sacks.
A little bit more? Yeah.
Just that bit more. Yeah, just a little bit.
But there's things like forcing the quarterback to have to get rid of the ball.
I know
quick,
that, Willie.
Right? And
I know,
you don't
right.
get a sack, but it's a presence.
They're called hurries.
Yeah,
hurries.
You're right. Hurries. You're absolutely
limiting the playbook because you're saying we can't take a 7-step drop. We will not have time to run this play.
Hey, listen.
It may not result in a lot of sacks, but I'm forcing you to get rid of it. I'm forcing you to limit your playbook.
You're right. I understand that. And the person I'm about to say, I understand that it's like comparing, I don't know, Dennis Rodman to Michael Jordan, I guess. But Aaron
you had
Donald,
to work in Dennis
yeah,
Rodman.
I had to work
you?
In Dennis Rodman, absolutely.
Just had to do it.
Dennis Rodman and Michael
Today's
Jordan.
Show would not be complete without a Dennis Rodman reference.
But Aaron Donald had 12 sacks. And who does everybody pay attention to?
Aaron Donald.
You're right. And he still gets
and
his
And he still
I get
gets
it.
His
yeah.
pressures.
You're right. Yeah.
And he still gets everything right. else. But he got 12 sacks.
Okay.
Jeffrey Simmons, people pay attention to him. He got 8.5.
Like. Exactly. So, yeah, you need to get double-digit sacks. And you can do all that other stuff, too.
Okay.
Yeah. He needs to have, going back to, you know, getting to the quarterback, if I got his paycheck, every time that came in the mail, I would hurry to the bank. He needs to get a lot of hurries, force fumbles, sacks, knockdowns. What other stats do they do? Assist, solos. Right,
he needs to be dancing a lot.
Even throw a pick, you know, an interception here or there. It wouldn't hurt either. I mean, he needs to do all that stuff.
Yeah,
$19 million against the cap.
19.2.
Like, you just can't be okay.
Don't leave out the point two.
You just can't be okay. And I'll take the point two. I'm just saying. All right, we'll come back. We'll hear from Titan safety Kevin Byard to begin the final hour. That's next.